The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Where we start is with the poll that is splashed across the front of the Sunday Independent, which breaks down the various levels of popularity of the parties and of their leaders. And the most significant figure within it is probably the one that relates to Fine Gael, because what it shows is that the party has dropped 4% in popular support since the last poll. I think it's 2 weeks since the last Ireland Thinks poll in the Sunday Independent. That's a precipitous decline for Fine Gael. And the poll was taken before that incident with the care worker in Kanturk that has gathered so much attention, and about which we will be speaking later on. The Sunday Independent characterises it as Harris Hop now history, as Fine Gael falls 4 points in a tight race. I'm joined by Patrick O'Donovan, who is Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science, and of course Fine Gael TD for Limerick County. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, Anton, and morning to your listeners.
A disaster?
Not at all. Look, I mean, I've been around this track. This is my fourth general election. I had two local elections prior to that, and the last couple of days is when people make up their mind as to who they're going to vote for. So there'll be other polls out during the week as well. One of the interesting things, though, in that poll, and I'm not one of these people who is a poll denier, one of the interesting things in that poll was when asked that same cohort of people, who do you trust with the economy? Almost 40% of people said Fine Gael, more than the two other big parties combined. So whether it is health, housing, roads, potholes, water, what I was dealing with this morning, a flood in Abbeyfield, it all comes out of the exchequer, and almost 40% of the people believe that the party best capable of making sure that public services can be funded is Fine Gael.
Well,
but that's not a bad result.
If you take solace from those numbers, you therefore have to give credence to the other, and the other is that you have had a 20% decline of your total popularity in a two-week period, and that's a period when your main aim has been to increase that popularity. That ain't good.
Well, the margin of error is plus or minus 3%, so that could be minus 1, or it also could be, it could be flatlined. So, look, I mean,
that's heading towards poll denial, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not heading towards poll denial. I always love polls, and I love deep diving into them to see where the numbers come from, the cohorts of people that vote for us, and the areas in which you know you have the potential to make the greatest amount of gains. So I'm not a poll denier, but I'm also somebody who looks under the bonnet of the front page and sees that, you know, all of the issues that have been raised with me, whether it is in Fines or Skeeton yesterday, or whether it's going to be later on this morning in Drumcullagh, they'll all come out of the economy, in the famous words of Bill Clinton. And the people that are most trusted at the moment to run the economy are Fine Gael. So, you know, all
but
of
how do you explain it, though, Patrick O'Donovan? Because you had within the Taoiseach's gift the timing of the election. So you got to set the battleground in terms of timing. You had your campaign ready to go. You launch, you run the Taoiseach round every town, village, boreen in the country. And after 2 weeks of it, you are negative rather than positive. Why do you think that is?
And in the 2 weeks that he's been up every boreen and at every crossroads in the country, as you quite rightly say, he's been in more places than probably the other two party leaders combined. He's made a huge impact on the electorate. There's no doubt about that. And people,
but in the wrong direction.
Like him. No, I wouldn't accept that. I mean, this is one poll, you know, and I take it at face value. But look, we'll see the next ones and the poll of polls, which is an aggregate. But we also need to look to see what people actually vote on and the issues that they vote on. And clearly, because it comes up with me every single day, is issues that relate back to the strength of the economy. And when it comes to the strength of the economy, Fine Gael is head, neck and shoulders above everybody else. So as the electorate are going to distill down now who they're going to vote for and how services are going to be paid for and how their taxes are going to be adjusted and how we're going to invest in infrastructure, they know that the money has to come from somewhere. Some parties, you know, don't have a magic money tree. They have a whole forest of them. And the public know that, and no matter how many times they shake it. But they do know that over the last number of years, whether it has been Brexit, whether it's been COVID, whether it's been the cost of living crisis, whether it's been an increase in terms of fuel costs or the first war in mainland Europe since 1945, the one consistent is that our economy has weathered all of it, and who has been in charge of that has been Fine Gael.
Now, I mentioned that this poll was taken before the exchange with the care worker in Kanturk, that care worker being Charlotte Fallon. This occurred on a Friday night. It was videoed. The video of the interaction between the Taoiseach, for which he has apologised, has run now to 2.5 million views. She's quoted as the in the Sunday Mail as saying, "I did feel small. I felt like, who's going to listen to me anyway? I felt stupid. I felt you shouldn't have opened your stupid mouth, silly girl." What do you think the impact of that will be?
Well, the first thing I'd say directly to Charlotte is she shouldn't, because, you know, one of the important things about the Irish democracy and Irish politics is people value the access that they have to their politicians, which is almost unique. And whether it is in a Super Value or Lidl or an Aldi, on a Saturday or Sunday, out of election or in election, people wander up to you and they tell you what the issues are that are important to them. And whether or not there was a television camera there, she shouldn't feel stupid about it. You know, she's entitled to her opinion. She feels very passionately about it. The other side of the...
So why did the Taoiseach make her feel like that?
Well, he has acknowledged straight away. He reflected on it straight away. He made contact with her and he apologised for it. And I think it's a good sign of a person that immediately recognised, I got it wrong. And he said, you know, I got it wrong. But I know Simon Harris a long time. I know him longer probably than most people in politics. And the one thing that motivates him is actually that people with disabilities, that's how he came into politics. That's why he's in politics. And, you know, he didn't appoint me to the Department of Further and Higher Education. But the first thing he said to me was, I want you to grow the number of therapists, occupational speech and language and physiotherapists.
So what happened in Kanturk? These
people in the school. Look, I suppose...
This woman was in no way abusive.
Everybody is entitled, Anton, to make a mistake. And a man who never made a mistake, never made anything. And Simon made a mistake and he's acknowledged it and he's fessed up to it. But, you know, his humanity, and I've seen it at first hand, and his genuineness when it comes to issues that face the people of Ireland, particularly around vulnerable children, vulnerable adults, is second to none. And I know that I have had first-hand experience of it, of his compassion and his generosity. And he made a mistake. We all do. Even broadcasters make that mistake. And the person who never made a mistake never made anything. But the apology is sincere and it's genuine. And I know that he has said to Charlotte that after the election, he wants to meet up with her and listen to see what she believes are the important issues going forward for a programme for government, which we hope to be in a position to be able to negotiate. And I think that's a real test of the type of person that he is as a father of young children who came into politics out of a journey purely designed for the interests of his brother with autism.
You mentioned your own appointment as Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science. In respect of that, the issue that we seem to have been having in years, going back to the point at which the Taoiseach actually held that role, is the slow but inexorable slide down the rankings of our universities. Does that concern you?
Well, we've turned the corner in that because we now have, thanks to the negotiations that myself and the department concluded in this year's budget, multi-annual funding that the university sector never had before. We accepted that there was a 307 million euro gap that we needed to bridge. We've now done that. But as well as that, we have the National Training Fund with 1.5 billion in multi-annual funding that will give us not only capital investment, but it also gives us investment into masters and PhDs. It will allow us to have international students coming in at a rate which we have, but at a bigger rate. And it'll be able to make sure that the standard of campuses that we have, the number of professors, the number of doctors that we have in our universities, we're able to expand. Just in a very short period of time after taking over the department, I announced an expansion in veterinary, pharmacy, medicine, dentistry, all of the things that have been spoken about for years. But we now have, thanks to how the economy is being managed, the resources, like next year alone, the Department of Further and Higher Education. And I was actually disappointed to hear, I like a lot of what the Social Democrats say every now and again, but on Science Week, the leader of the Social Democrats said she was going to abolish the Department of Further and Higher Education, which, if you're a young apprentice in Ballingarry at the moment, it sends out a terrible bad signal that the department is charged with trying to get more young women and more young men into becoming plumbers and electricians is about to be abolished. We're not for that. We're for retention of it because the separation of the two departments of education and further and higher education, research, innovation and science has allowed us to do things in a policy area that we simply just would not have been able to do.
Okay, well, just go back for a moment to where we started, which is the issue of rankings. What's your aim in respect of rankings? If you take our highest quality universities, where should they be in the global league table?
So they should be going in an upward trajectory, but I'm not going to give you a number. And they will.
Why?
They will go in because you know it's like a bit like the CAO points. You know, I got 500 and you got 495. I don't believe that we should be.
Which
just
is a measure of merit and defines where we get in the same way as university rankings applies for our economy and the quality of our graduates and is looked to by FDI.
You look at, I'm glad you mentioned FDI because that's exactly what I was going to say. if you look at what our graduates are going on to achieve in Ireland and abroad, in my own local university here, in the University of Limerick, University College Cork, where I with myself, MTU and Tralee, they're being stepped up by pharmachem industries, by accountants, by engineers at a rate of 90. Because they're coming out with fantastic qualifications. So the real test...
But surely there's an onus on you to be able to say, look, we should have a university in the top 100? Top 75?
What our investment projections will allow us to do, even on the current investment projections, is to make sure that we're in an upward trajectory. I'm not going to say that we're going to be number 76 or number 24, but we will grow the investment that's needed, and the investment has been broadly, by and large, welcomed by the Irish University Association and the Tech University Association as well, because they can see now a clear pathway, thanks to what I've achieved in the most recent budget, multi-annual funding, and a clear line of sight in terms of the courses that they're offering, and in terms of the syllabus and the curriculum redevelopment as well. So look, some people like to land on, you know, are we going to be a particular number? My focus is on the quantum of investment that we get for further education and higher education. And by the way, further education was a complete and utter Cinderella.
Well, with the greatest respect, Patrick, the question as to whether or not we land on a specific number is not the same as a broad range. In one ranking, our best university is 236th. In another, our best university is 151. That's abysmal, isn't it?
Well, there's a big range there between 236 and 151. But what I will say is that based on the plans that we now have, which the IUA and the tech university sector both agree is, you know, positive, those university rankings will grow. But the best test for a university rank is how many graduates are coming out per annum and getting good jobs in the Irish economy and elsewhere. And you talk to any of the university presidents, and I did a load of conferrings this summer and in the autumn. They're all walking out the door with their cap and gown and their parchment into jobs that when I came out of university, I wouldn't have even been able to dream about. So that's the greatest test. And if, to be honest about it, my focus is, as minister for that sector, to continue to grow that level of investment to make sure that those young women and men coming out will be able to get the jobs in their own local areas, whether that's Ballyhadreen or Ballina, and be able to raise a family, have a mortgage, build a house and get on with their lives with a very good quality job.
Patrick O'Donovan, thank you very much. That's Patrick O'Donovan, who is Minister for Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.